The life story of King Uzziah is one of great contrast. He rose in the early days of his kingdom to a height of such glory and splendor and prosperity that had not been seen in the kingdom since the early days of Solomon's rule. Those were wonderful days indeed. It seemed there was advance and prosperity on every hand. He achieved things in the kingdom that it seemed few others before or after him were able to accomplish. And yet there came a very definite turning point in the life of King Uzziah. It seems, if we look at the emphatic language of the verse 16, that there may even well have been a date on the calendar. If we had have been around in those days, that we could have put a circle around. There was a definite change, a definite turning point. Verse 16 tells us, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." And that awful word, destruction, echoes over the latter part of Uzziah's reign. His final days were days of ruin, were days of loss, days of separation from the people and from the house of God, as he died smitten by God, a leper, ending his days an outcast, though he had begun his days in splendor, in glory, and advance on every side. There is one simple factor that made the difference between the glory days of Uzziah's early reign and the days of shame and ruin and loss of his latter end. A simple factor that is set before us in the words of our text tonight, of verse 5. As long as he sought God, the Lord made him to prosper. That is what made the difference. That was the turning point of Uzziah's life. So long as he gave himself to seek the Lord, God prospered him. As soon as he ceased seeking God, then destruction and ruin came upon him. Very often, the Christian may well be faced with the question, can a child of God end his days in shame, in loss, in ruin? And the answer is yes. Can a child of God end his days as an outcast, living in spiritual poverty, living in desolation and destitution, and in isolation in spiritual terms? And the answer is yes. For this is all pictured for us in the end of King Uzziah. It can happen to a man who begins well. It can happen to a man or a woman who, for a time, goes on well with God. Oh, we can end badly. We all are familiar with the old saying that it's not so important how we begin as how we end. Uzziah began well, and he ran well as long as he sought God. But the inference of our text, and it's an inference borne out in his own history, that when he forgot to seek God, he ended his days in shameful failure, ruin, and loss. I want us tonight to simply consider the blessing of seeking God. Seeking God and the blessing and reward that it brings to our lives. And we will, just as I've said already, be basing our thoughts upon the words of the verse 5. The first thing I want us to observe as we consider this topic tonight is that to seek God is to do what is right before him. I want you just to notice that in verse 5 there is a very strong link with what goes before in the verse 4. A little synopsis or summary of Uzziah's life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought God. Seeking the Lord is to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. If you or I want to do what is right before God, then we must seek him. Now I will be coming in a moment or two just to elaborate upon what is meant by seeking God. But let us just for now focus upon this thought. If you want to do what's right, then you need to seek the Lord. Uzziah here, it is said, in the general overview of his life, did what was right, and part of doing right was to seek the Lord. Now it's obvious that the Lord sees and evaluates all that we do. He saw what Uzziah did. He evaluated what Uzziah did. For verse 4 tells us that he did right. There's the evaluation. In the sight of the Lord. It is of absolutely no relevance or importance in the eyes of God whether what you and I do is wise in our own eyes, socially acceptable, politically correct, convenient, or anything else. There is only one measure by which God evaluates what he sees in us, and that is whether it is right. It doesn't matter whether we live by the standard of whether it's convenient or not, or whether we feel it's socially acceptable or viable or not to serve God or to do this or that. The Lord's evaluation is based on a single standard. Is it right? The word here is obviously, even in the English, linked with the word righteousness. Is it right in the sight of God? Is that how we live? This is what the Lord is looking for. This is how he evaluates our lives. Here is God's evaluation of Uzziah's life. And just as surely as God evaluated what he saw in Uzziah, he will evaluate what he sees in you and I. Are we living according to what is right? That's the only thing that matters. Do we do what is right? It mightn't be convenient. It mightn't be acceptable. It mightn't be the pleasant thing to do. It mightn't be what we in our own heart want to do. But is it right? That's the question. That is what should govern everything that we do. How we conduct ourselves in the house of God, how we conduct ourselves in business, in our private life, in every element of our life here upon the earth. Is it right? If it's right, do it. If it's not, don't. Part of doing right, obviously, then, is to seek the Lord. Seeking God, we can say, is an element of righteousness. Now, God has called his people to be righteous. He has laid down for us in his word those stipulations that we are to be holy. We are to live a righteous life. We are to do what's right. Well, here's part of what he means. Seek God. For Uzziah did right in the eyes of the Lord when he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It's part of the purpose of God, then, for men to seek him. Part of his revealed will. Part of righteousness. To seek the Lord. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and the verse 3. The words are spoken to Jehoshaphat, Uzziah's, one of his ancestors. And Jehoshaphat has just returned from a sinful and compromising alliance with King Ahab. And there is a rebuke from God as the Lord sends Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, with a word of censure and reproof. Here's a man who hasn't done what's right. And God reproves him for it. Nevertheless, he says in the verse 3, there are good things found in thee. The Lord was threatening judgment, but that wrath was tempered because of the fact that there were good things in Jehoshaphat's life. He wasn't wholly given over to sin. He fell. He acted foolishly. But the Lord says there are good things found in thee. Now he goes on to list the good things in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. That's a good thing. It's something that in the eyes of God is good. It's part of what the Lord requires of his people. That which he commends, that which he blesses, is this endeavor to seek the Lord. In the Psalm 14 and the verse 2, Again, we have words that are very similar to the words of our text. And the thought that we're following in Psalm 14, we read that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. That's what he's looking for. That's what he was wanting to see, seeing if there were those who sought after him. In Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20, the prophet is contemplating a time when there would be the forces of apostasy in the land, and when there was pressure placed upon the people of God to seek something else. And verse 19 tells us, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter." Here were the wicked, the apostate force in the land, the evil cancer of apostasy was exerting its influence in the land, and there was this pressure being brought to bear upon the people of God. Don't seek the Lord, seek something else. Seek those who have evil spirits, to wizards. And the question is raised by the prophet, should not a people seek unto their God? That's where they should seek. Even when there are all these forces around us saying, seek this, seek that, seek for wisdom here and there and everywhere, but don't seek the Lord. The command from God is, should not a people seek unto their God? That's what he's looking for. That's what his command. That's what his will is. And we're familiar with those well-known words in Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord. Couldn't be any plainer than that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It is the will of God, even in dark days. Even in days when there are those around us that are seeking to evil spirits and to demons, as in Isaiah's day, the will of God is still the same. Seek the Lord. It's a good thing. It's that which pleases him. It's that which he commends. It's that which is right in the eyes of God. You want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord? Well then, seek him. Seek him. But what does it mean to seek God? What does it mean? We could give a great number of answers, and we could turn to a lot of texts in Scripture, and we could just show you individual components of what it means to seek God. But let me just explain it this way. No doubt in the past I have referred to this word and the picture that is in it. But remember this picture. Remember the idea of, or think upon the idea of, someone taking a shortcut. From time to time when I get opportunity and do some door-to-door outreach with giving out tracts and invitations, I see lots of examples of this. I like to stick to the path, because if it was my lawn, I would want visitors to stick to the path. But at a whole lot of these houses, you can see where perhaps it's family members, or maybe it's the mailman, I don't know. But there's a shortcut. Maybe the path goes the long way and there's a shortcut across the grass, and you can see the path there. In bad enough instances, it has been worn right through to the soil. But that's the idea that's in this word seek. It's the idea of wearing a path. The wearing of a path to God. Now what does that instantly teach us about seeking God? Seeking God simply means that we go to God, and we go there diligently, habitually, constantly, until, if you like, we have a path worn from our door to God's. That's what it means to seek the Lord. To be diligent, to be habitual, to, in constant practice, go to where God is to seek him and to enter into his fellowship and his company. It means just to go to meet God. Now that will involve a host of other activities, but we can sum them all up in that way. It means that every possible use is made of the means of grace that are available to us. It means that we'll be often in this world looking for the Lord. We'll be seeking for him in the pages of Scripture. It means that we'll be in the place of prayer, in private and public. It means we'll put ourselves under the ministry of the Word of God. And every opportunity to get to meet with God, we will take it. That's what it means to seek God. It means to be diligent and to be habitual and to be constant in our use of the means that God has given to find Him and to enter into fellowship with Him. If we keep in mind that thought of wearing a path to the Lord, there's a whole lot of times and a whole lot of Christians, there's not much danger of them wearing a path to the prayer meeting. There's not much danger of them wearing a path to the church services. I suppose that if I was to walk over the lawn and take a shortcut like some of those other folks seem to do, and to do it once a week, the grass would survive that. I don't think I'd wear a path in it. But if I was to do it every day and maybe twice a day, and to do it in the company of others, wouldn't be very long until there was a path worn there. Many of God's people, there's not the slightest chance of them in their lifetime wearing a path to God, because they're not very often on that path. They're not very often to be found seeking after God. But here's Uzziah, and it's said of him, to use the literal thought of the word, he wore a path to God. He sought the Lord diligently, habitually, continuously. Now if what I have said on the basis of this verse is true, and if it is right to seek God, and if it is right for you and for me to wear out a path as we go to meet God, public and private, if that is right in the eyes of the Lord, then the converse of that truth is also true. It is sin. It is wrong not to wear out that path. It is sin not to wear a path to the presence of the Lord. How does our life measure up? Now suppose we were to examine our life in these terms. Let's think about what we do. Some people I know, and if we were to visualize their life in these terms, there's a path worn between their home and the mall. Nothing maybe much to do in the day, and they sort of gravitate down to the mall for the company that's there. Or young people, they wear a path to this place or that place, wherever their friends may be found. Some wear out a path to a particular line of business or a particular interest in life. And if we were to look at our life in these terms, look at your own life. And there might be a path to the mall, and there might be a path to this or to that or to the other, but tell me, is there a path to the presence of God? You examine the day-to-day routine of your life, and you come and you go, and you walk here and you go there. You do this and you do that, and you do it constantly. And it's like the routine of your life. There's like a little rut worn there in the pathway of life. Is there a path to the presence of God? Do you seek the Lord? That's what God requires. That's what's right in His eyes. And for us not to seek Him is clearly in disobedience to the commands that we have looked at tonight that demonstrate it is the will of the Lord that we seek after Him. Now we need to move on and notice secondly in the text the conditions in which or under which Uzziah sought God. We are specifically told in verse 5 that he sought God in the days of Zechariah. And then his ministry is described that he had understanding in the visions of God. He sought God while under the influence of this man, Zechariah, unknown to us, apart from this reference to his ministry. I think that we can go so far as to say that the inference of this text is that these are the only conditions under which he sought God. Surely the inference is that when he was under the influence of Zechariah's ministry, he sought God, and when that influence ceased, he stopped seeking the Lord. That's the inference of the words. So these are the only conditions that nurtured and that produced and generated a seeking of God in Uzziah's life while he was under the ministry of this man, Zechariah. We need to understand very clearly that the ministry of truth is a necessary element to us seeking God. Placing ourselves under the ministry of the Word of God is an element, is a necessary condition to us seeking the Lord. It's obvious the nature of Zechariah's ministry. It exercised a guiding influence. We could think of the fact that his ministry obviously exercised a restraint upon Uzziah. The old natural heart within us all desires to break out on the right hand and on the left and to seek after this, that and the other thing, to seek after the pleasures of the world. But under Zechariah's influence and the influence of his preaching and of his ministry, there was a restraint kept upon Uzziah, and we are told that instead of following his own ways and rubbing a path in some other direction in life, he beat a path to God's door. Under the influence of this ministry, he was restrained. Sin is kept in check by the preaching of the Word of God. It is kept in check under the influence of the Word of truth. We want to seek the Lord, then we will need to see a restraining of other interests and other concerns in our lives. There'll be things that conflict with the service. There'll be things that come up that conflict with a prayer meeting. But if we want to seek God, we need to have those things restrained and kept in check under the influence of the Word of God. That when the Word of God is applied, those things are set aside and we walk in the path that leads to God and not in a path that leads into our own interests and our own desires. Surely we can also say that there was a positive aspect to this man's ministry, even before we get to the details that are recorded here. It not only restrained him from going in other directions, but it guided him in the way in which he should seek the Lord. It guided him to the Lord. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Can we not see how even here there is clearly inferred that it was under the guiding hand of that ministry that Uzziah was directed to God? And he was not only restrained, but in a positive sense was guided and led by that ministry to seek after God. We need to be clear about this. It is the Word of God that must guide and govern how we seek Him. That is what will generate within our heart a right seeking of God. We cannot be left to our own devices in this matter. It's the common philosophy of the age. I seek God in whatever way I please. None of your business to try and tell me what's right and what's wrong. I seek God according to my own ideas and my own interpretation of Scripture and my own views. But it's this book that is to guide how we seek God. Uzziah sought God so long as he was under the influence of the Word of God. Now here's something we need to notice from Uzziah's experience. That he sought God correctly and properly when he was under the influence of Zechariah's ministry. We have read the verses tonight of how Uzziah, in his latter days, in pride and arrogance, went into the temple. Now I want you to look at what is recorded in verses 16 through 19. And see there something that could be nominally called seeking God. What did he do? He went into the presence of God in the holy place. He took a censer in his hand. He was going to offer incense before God. In a nominal sense, it is true to say that no doubt in the carnality and the sin of his mind, Uzziah here deceived himself into thinking, I am seeking God. He's going into the presence of God in the holy place in the temple. He's going in to offer up incense at the incense altar. But here's the thing. He didn't do it according to the Word of God. To borrow David's words, he didn't do it after the due order. In other words, he didn't seek God in the fashion that is prescribed in his word. And what is the chief priest? Azariah comes to him, the high priest, and says, not your business to do this. This is the priest's work. And you're not seeking God according to the way that he has commanded you to seek him. He's out from under the influence of the word. And though there is the appearance of seeking the Lord, he's not seeking God at all. It's something that I have very dear to my own heart. If we are allowed to have causes in the work of God that are particularly close to our own heart. There's one thing that I would desire to see, and that is the discernment in the people of God today to be able to differentiate between what Uzziah did in verses 16 through 19. It looked like seeking God, but it wasn't. To be able to distinguish between that which looks like the real thing and that which actually is a seeking of God. There are those today, and they were found in the house of God, and it seemed that they prayed, and it seemed that they sang, and it seemed that there was some form of a service, but it wasn't under the guidance of the Word of God. It was only as long as Uzziah was under the influence of God's Word that he actually sought God. Even in this incident in his latter years, where he seems to seek God, and if we didn't have any discernment or any knowledge about this matter, we would say, how is it that God smote him? He was going after God. He wanted to know God. It looked like he wanted to pray. But he wasn't doing it right. If we want to seek God, then let us put ourselves under the influence of the Word of God. For it is only in that condition and in that environment and context that we will actually seek the Lord. The ministry of Zechariah was obviously conducive to seeking the Lord. His ministry is described here. He's a man who had understanding in the visions of God. It's obvious then that Zechariah had a personal experience of God. He's a man who knew God. There are two words that are particularly prominent here in the description of his ministry. First is the word understanding. Second is the word visions. Here's a man who saw God. Here's a man who knew God. Here's a man who understood what God's Word taught. As the Lord communicated with him, he saw God in a special sense. And he had understanding in the message that God communicated to him. His was no self-devised, self-produced ministry or program. His was the ministry of a man who knew God and knew what God had to say. And it is clearly suggested was bold in his application of that word to the king. Now that's the ministry that is necessary to aid men to seek God. I personally stand before this word and find here the standard that God requires of me if I am to be of assistance to anyone in a congregation to enable them to seek after God. If I am to be like Zechariah and exercise this ministry in the lives of others, then I must be like him. As I was thinking of this, it came into my mind just to ask you all a question. How often do you think to pray that your minister will see God? How often do you think to pray that God will give him understanding? For let it be understood clearly that this is what is necessary if you are to seek God. That is the order that God has ordained. And if I and my ministry is to be a benefit and an assistance to you to help you seek and find God, then I must be like Zechariah. And I put it to you tonight that here is what you need to pray. Here is what you need to pray for me, that I will have understanding in the visions of God, that I will both know God and see God, and be able to communicate that word because it was in that condition or that circumstance that Uzziah sought the Lord. There is obviously not only a lesson for the preacher here, but there is a lesson for us all. For this is the kind of ministry and the kind of teaching that we must put ourselves under if we are to seek God. To follow any other kind of ministry is not to seek the Lord. To absent ourselves from the place where God's Word is preached, or where there is a ministry, be it here or elsewhere, a ministry that is like the ministry of Zechariah, if we absent ourselves from that and we remove ourselves from that influence, we will not seek God. We cannot seek God. This is the influence that is necessary to us seeking God. There are those who think that they can stay away from the place where the Word of God is preached and still find God. It can't be done. It can't be done. As long as Uzziah placed himself under the influence of this ministry, we are told he sought God. He walked in a path that led him constantly into the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you plainly and clearly that no Christian can go on with God and remove themselves from the influence of a ministry like Zacharias. It cannot be done. No matter what they may claim, no matter what they might hope for, it can't be done. Though Uzziah was a king, with all the privileges of rank and power, with all the aids and help and support and resources that he could call upon as the king, he couldn't seek God in the proper way when this influence was removed from his life. It doesn't matter what we are personally, how intellectually gifted, how clever, how spiritual we feel we are, how many books or helps we have at home, what resources we can call upon, if we remove from ourselves the influence of a ministry like this, there will be no seeking of God. For he sought God only as long as he was under the influence of the ministry of Zechariah. I want us to consider something else in closing tonight, and it's simply the benefits of seeking God. Under the influence of Zechariah, Uzziah wore a path between his own door and the door of heaven as he went to meet God. The primary benefit of seeking the Lord is that we find him. That is the promise of Scripture. We find the Lord. We enter into his presence. We enter into fellowship and communion with God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, the verse 29. Moses urges upon the people that even in a day of judgment and scattering because of sin, a day of captivity, verse 27 tells us where of how the Lord would scatter them among the nations, but verse 29 says, but if from thence, even in your enemy's land, surrounded by idols, surrounded by the wicked, even from there, if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek with him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, even there, if it's the worst circumstance imaginable for the nation and for the people of God, but even there, if you seek the Lord, what is the promise? You'll find him. Isaiah chapter 45, the verse 19. The Lord speaking again in promise to the people of Israel, he says this, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Did God ever say, it's a vain thing to seek me? No, he didn't. I never said such a thing. There never was a thought like it came into the mind of God. It's not a vain thing to wait upon the Lord. It's not a vain thing to seek him. Jeremiah tells us in the chapter 29 and the verse 13, echoing the thought of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Jeremiah 29:13, let's read the verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Uzziah sought the Lord. God made him to prosper. The chief benefit of seeking the Lord is that we find him. And if under the influence of the Word of God we seek him, the promise is this, we will find him. But you'll not find him unless you seek him. You'll not find him unless you wear a path to his door. You'll not find him unless you seek him according to this word. Uzziah didn't find the God of blessing in the holy place in the temple. He rather found a God who smote him, who struck him with leprosy, who manifested his displeasure and chastened him. Oh, if you don't seek the Lord according to his word, seek with all your heart, with all your soul, you'll not find the God of blessing. You want blessing in your life? Wear out that path to the Lord under the influence of his word. There are many other benefits, spiritual and temporal, to be found in this chapter that are directly linked to Uzziah seeking God. But let's just notice in the verse 5, the one word, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That word prosper is linked to the thought of a river and flood. It's as if there is before us a river and the dam has broken. And suddenly there is this wall of water and it overflows everything in its path. That's what it means to prosper, according to this verse. God made him to go forward and made him to advance, and nothing that stood in his path was an obstacle. He went over it. He was victorious. He conquered. His army, we are told, waged war with power. He built. He advanced the cause of God and the nation, and we find him building wells and building walls and building cities. We find a time of fruitfulness even in the natural produce of the earth referred to. And in his own life and in the lives of his people there was advance. The psalmist said, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Uzziah, like a mighty torrent in full flood, went forward as he sought God. The Lord God made him to prosper. We're told the Lord helped him, verse 7. The Lord strengthened him, verse 8 and verse 15. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And all of this is directly attributed to the fact that he sought God. The link is also seen in a negative sense, in that as soon as he stopped seeking God, pride and arrogance entered his heart, and we read that he transgressed and trespassed. Both those words actually translate the same Hebrew word, and it's a very interesting word. It means, it's the idea of a swelling. Swelling up and then rupturing and bursting. And that's just how his heart was. He got inflated with pride. And his proud heart ruptured, and what happened? Out came the filth of sin. And he transgressed, and he trespassed, and he rebelled against God, and he disobeyed God, and he got angry, and he resisted the priests, and he wanted to do his own thing, and bring in his own ordinances, and act according to his own regulations in the house of God. And God smote him for it. When he stopped seeking God, things changed. Well, let us learn from Uzziah's lesson. If right now, by the grace and mercy of God, we are endeavouring to walk that path to the Lord's door, and we're trying, by God's help and grace, to wear a path to the Lord's door, well, let us not forsake that work. It's difficult at times. The devil, the world, and the flesh will resist our every step, but let us stick to the path and seek God, that we would continue to know his blessing. But if you've got off the path, you've got away from seeking God, well, like Azariah of old, we would step in and warn you as he warned Uzziah. He warned him before God smote him. See, he warned him before God struck Uzziah with leprosy. God only struck Uzziah with leprosy after he had resisted the warning. If he had heeded the warning and gone back to the ways of seeking God according to his word, none of that would ever have happened. But he resisted the warning, and God dealt with him. You know, there are serious issues involved. Too many of God's people today have a casual attitude about the things of God. It's just a take it or leave it, come or go thing, and it doesn't make much difference whether I do what God says or whether I don't. It's a serious business. For when Uzziah got off the path, he had God to deal with. No true child of God can stop seeking God and be left to their own devices. It was a mark of God's grace in Uzziah's life that God did deal with them. If God had left him to his own way, we would have had no hope for Uzziah. For every son that God has, he chastens. It's a mark of belonging to the Lord. Let's stick to the path of seeking God. There's blessing in it. And how much pain and anguish of life and soul we will spare ourselves if we put ourselves under the influence of this book and with diligent, habitual practice go out to meet God, to fellowship with him.